From the campus of New Hope Christian College, welcome to Words of New Hope.
I mean, you can't say, be honest. Be honest, kids. And then when the phone rings, Dad, it's for you. Just tell them I'm not home. What do you think they're going to follow, your words or your actions? It's your actions, not your words.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Yesterday, we began a message entitled, What's a Family For? Today, you'll learn how to make your family a family of integrity in order to fortify it against the attacks of the enemy. Here is Pastor Wayne with part two of the message, What's a Family For?
Have you ever heard the saying, like father, like son? That's so true. I mean, I look at Aaron and I am utterly amazed at how much Aaron is like me. I mean, it's scary. I mean, he's brilliant, he's funny, he's good looking. No. But our children really follow after us, and more is caught than taught. They won't follow your words, they'll follow your actions. I mean, you can't say, be honest, kids. And then when the phone rings, Dad, it's for you, just tell them I'm not home. What do you think they're gonna follow, your words or your actions? You see, your actions give credibility to you what you say, or it steals credibility from what you say. It's your actions, not your words. It's your actions, because more will be caught than taught. And that's why home is a center for credibility. That's where you become honest or not. That's where it shows up. That's why family is God's design. It's so important, because that's really the boot camp for life. If I miss it here, I'm just dreaming out there. But if I can successfully live here and negotiate relationships here, then I'll be fine out there. And so we find that God is saying that they learn it, because your family is like a relay of values, a relay race. What are you passing on to your kids? Or maybe we should put it this way, who is passing values on to our children? Do you know that kids watch, in today's society, they watch TV on the average 1,000 hours a year. Average television watching, 3 to 4 hours a day. That's over 1,000 hours a year. 1,000 hours. If they do that till age 65, they will have spent almost 9 years of their life in front of a television. Now, if you take your child to church like you do here, but it's only on Sundays, and they go 2 hours a week till they're 65 years old, compared to spending 9 years in front of a television, they will have had, after doing that with your children for 65 years, they will have had 8 months of Bible training. 8 months. Now let me ask you, where are our children getting their values? That's why we look, you watch crime on TV, that's what's going to be in the streets. You look at the fragmented families in the sitcoms, that's what you're going to see in our homes. You take a look at the homes breaking down, you'll see that that'll happen in churches, and you'll see that'll happen in our government, because the family is the smallest form of government in our nation. And the family is the smallest church. And so what God is saying, let's begin to say, Lord, as for me and my house. What does that mean? Well, if I have a family, that's my house. If I'm a single man, this is my house. And the decisions I make under my jurisdiction, whether it be courting someone that I'll marry one day, as for me and my house, single mom, as for me and my house, everyone has that application. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I want to learn the values and character here, because if I learn it here, I'll have it out there. It's kind of like golf. I noticed my uncle is here. Robert Takasaki, wave your hand. That's my uncle. Everybody say hi to Bob. My auntie Nancy. All my aunties over here. All the Ginozas, welcome. In golf, my uncle plays golf. And in golf, if you address the ball correctly and you line it up and you hit the ball exactly on the dimple that's exactly in line with that hole, and you hit it correctly without any slice or hook on it, if you hit it correct and the point of contact is right on the money, now down the fairway, guess where the ball's going to be? If I hit it maybe 400 yards down, it'll be right in the middle of the fairway. My uncle hits it about 150 yards or so, it'll be down there. But if you hit it correct at the point of contact here, it'll be in the middle of the fairway down there. You don't have to worry about it down there. You just hit this and just watch there, and you know it's going to be down right in the middle down there. But you see, if at the point of contact you hit it just one dimple off, or you pull it just a little bit, or if it's just a half inch off at the point of contact here, just a little bit off here, guess how far you're going to be off out there? You're going to be about three fairways over, two broken windows, three housetops, two dead cats. The ball is going to be way off down on the fairway if it's just a little bit off here at the point of contact. And God is saying your home is the point of contact with life. It's the boot camp for life. That's why it's so important. That's why if the devil can ruin our homes and change the definition of family, he'll do it. Do you understand how critical it is? And if the devil can get us to change the definition of family and make it obsolete and do our own thing, then he's ruined our point of contact with life. And then he's got us. And that's why God says family is the oldest institution of all time. And I said, it's not good for man to be alone. I created a family that answered that question. And I started it from the beginning, the point of contact. And I give you my word to help you to build it in such a way that not only do you become a person of integrity, but you pass a baton so that generations thereafter can carry an accurate faith into the future. And even in our society where it's so fragmented, let's be people that says, Lord, as for me and my house, regardless of where we are right now, as a single person or a single parent or a family, as for me and my house, from this day on, we will serve the Lord. How many of you can say amen? Take a look at that triangle. Would you put at the top of the triangle the word God? And down to the lower left, put you. And on the right-hand side of that triangle, put spouse. Even if you're single, your spouse one day, or it can be any relationship. Now, if you and your spouse, let me just use it as a husband and wife right now, at the base of that triangle, where it comes down like this. If your husband's here and a spouse is here, if you try to get your act together and your life together here, you might be able to for a while, but God's not in the picture at all, and it's doomed. But if you'll put little arrows going up on that sidebars to the top, would you just write, draw in about two arrows going upward? Can you see that when the husband begins to develop a relationship with God and gets closer to God, and the wife gets closer to God, and the husband grows in his faith and the wife grows in her faith, guess what? Not only do they get closer to God, but they get closer to whom? Each other. And when you have God in the picture and both of you as well, I tell you, there's a family that's going to last. The marriages right now, statistics say, in America, divorce rate, 1 out of 2.4. 1 out of 2.4. In Los Angeles County, it's 1 out of 2 end in divorce. So don't move there. But Harvard did a study about 8-9 years ago, and they tracked a bunch of Christians, 7,000, 8,000 Christians that got married, and tracked them for a decade, 10 to 12 years. And they found that similarly, where those who don't know God, their marriage breakup ratio, 1 out of 2.4. You know what Harvard, and the study's still available today, Christian couples that have God in their life, not just as some name, but really are growing with God, divorce rate, 1 out of 1,827. Isn't that amazing? I mean, it works. God is able because he designed the family. Have you ever heard this saying that says, well, I'm not going to force any of my spiritual values on my kids. I'm just going to let them decide for themselves. And when they get old enough, then they can decide. Who am I to just, you know, kind of force and influence their spiritual welfare and their spiritual life? Oh, man, I'm just going to let them grow on their own. And when they are 18 or when they're on their own, they can decide for themselves. Well, there's a real theological Greek word for that philosophy. Bacatare. That's foolish. That's crazy. You don't do that. Because the one who says, well, I'm not going to influence the spiritual climate of my house or in any way the decision of my child. You know what I'm saying? I'm implying that God is an option. And he's not an option. It's kind of like, well, I'm not going to influence my daughter in the courses that she's going to take in college or the sport that she's going to play or the hobby that she's going to play. That's fine because that stuff's optional. But you see, what happens is if I'm not teaching my family about God, I am making a major mistake that holds eternal consequences. That is totally bacatare. Well, just let the kid just be exposed to everything in his growing up. And when he gets older, then he'll really just be able to choose what's best. It's kind of like you take a film out of a camera and just whip it out. And just expose it to everything. Pretty flowers. Pretty ocean. And then go develop it and see if it gets the best out of everything it's been exposed to. It would be ruin. But sometimes we say, well, just let the kids just experience everything they want to. And then we wonder why we have trouble with them in their teenage years and their early adulthood life. God didn't say it that way. He said, Father, don't exasperate your children, but bring them up in the teaching and instruction of the Lord. You see, family is God's design. So if we want it to be built correctly, we've got to follow God's instructions because it's God's idea. And so it's a learning center for life. And then finally, our home is a place for second chances. A place for second chances. Ecclesiastes 4, 9, and 10. Would you read that with me? Ready? Go. Two are better than one. If one of them falls down, the other can help him up. But if someone is alone and falls, there will be none to help. Isn't that something? Proverbs 24. Ready? Go. The righteous falls seven times and rises again. God is saying it's righteous. Not if you never fall, but you're righteous. If when you fall, you're able to rise again. You see, the Bible says, be on your guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times a day and returns to you seven times a day saying, I repent, forgive him. You see, we serve a God of second chances, don't we? How many of you are glad we serve a God of second chances? Yeah, all of us. We wouldn't be here otherwise. I think we should live that way. I remember when I used to live in Palolo, we used to play bottle caps before it was called Pogs. And it was just these milk bottle caps and we'd stack them up and you'd take a real good bottle cap and you take it and you whack it down on this stack of bottle caps. And the ones that turn over, you keep. Now, we used to do a thing where, you know, the bottle caps got, you know, pretty high about this much. I'd take one and we'd actually stand up because we wanted more force, more power. And so we'd take it and whack as hard as we can. Now, sometimes we would be, I mean, it was so bad, we missed the whole thing, you know, pack on the side. And when we do that, we go, oh, do over, do over, do over. So we would have do-overs. I mean, if it was such a stupid mistake, it was such a bad aim, it was so bad, we could take a do-over and your opponent would go, yeah, you better take a do-over, that was bad. You know, I think we should have homes where we should be able to do that in life, take a do-over. I mean, I was at one of a New Hope golf tournaments the other week and the most common word around the golf course was mulligan. You know what a mulligan is? It's a do-over. You whack it and it goes out of bounds, mulligan, and they take a do-over. So you can call it by all kinds of names, but it's still a do-over. And God is a God who lets us have do-overs. We need to be able to go to a home where when we mess up, I mean just royally mess up, there should be do-overs. When we mess up royally and we repent, as the Bible says, a husband or a wife or a daughter should say, Dad, take a do-over. Just do-over. Just go ahead. It's all right. I remember a few months ago, Anna and I were having problems a little bit, you know. I mean, she had messed up royally. And for a couple of days, I mean, we saved a lot on our electricity bill because the house was so full of static, you know. The lights were just glow all the time. And it was just really bad. And finally, we discussed it a little bit, and my wife, bless her heart, she said, honey, time out. She said, let's just start over. Let's just do over. I said, oh, that sounds good. Okay, so we turned around. Whoop, okay, hey, hi, how are you? And we started all over again. And I'm so glad I have a wife that says, take a do-over. Just take a do-over. And she said, yeah, let's start all over. I bought a real big present, so that probably didn't hurt any, but... I remember a play, it's called Raisin in the Sun. And let me just conclude with this, where... There's a Negro family whose father had just passed away, and his dream was to always buy a home in North Jersey with window boxes with flowers in it. Well, he worked hard, and because of his hard work, well, I guess his health wasn't real good, and he passed away and left $10,000. With it, Mom was going to take her son and daughter Bernitha to this North Jersey and put a down payment on a house with window boxes and flowers in it. But one day the son came home and said, Mom, I have a friend that said if I'll take that $10,000, I know Dad wanted it for this house, but if I can take this money, I can invest it, and it's guaranteed in 30 days to double our money. Mom, guaranteed. No, she said, your dad wanted it for a house for us. No, he said, Mom, and you know, as a son would, he would pull his mother's strings, heartstrings, and finally she relented and gave him the money. And as the play went on, you can just see the handwriting on the wall. His friend took that money and skipped town, was never heard of after that. And the scene opens where he comes into the house and explains this, and he's crying, knowing that he shattered the dreams of his family, the hopes of his mother. Couldn't live with himself, didn't know what to do, wanted to check out. And Bernitha there is a sister. She's sitting there in the living room listening to this wail of her brother. And then he bursts into tears, doesn't know what to do. And Mom is compassionate, shocked but compassionate. And he runs up the stairs and slams the door. And Bernitha, the young daughter, flies into a rage. She said, how stupid of him. What an idiot. He should go ahead, just jump off a cliff. He ruined Dad's dreams. He ruined your hopes, Mom. And what are we going to do now? Just stay in this ghetto the rest of our life? Is that the kind of brother we want? He can leave with his friend. Tell him to get out of here. And then Mom, she looks with steel-daggered eyes into her daughter. And she says in that southern way, she says, oh, child, haven't I learned you anything over these years? Ain't you learned nothing? Child, she said, look at what this world has done to your brother. It's done whipped him so. Child, sure, he made a mistake, but the world has whipped him so that he can't stand himself anymore. Child, she said, child, when do you think somebody needs loving? When do you think it's time to love somebody? When they done good? When they're on the top of the world? When everything is going well and everything is coming up roses? Is that when somebody needs your love the most? Child, or is it when the world's done whipped them so? When they feel like there's no place to go? They've ruined all their hopes. Child, when do you think they need love the most? She said, child, if you ain't learned that, you ain't learned nothing. You see, our home is to be a place of second chances. When the world's whipped our spouse or our children's soul. And we need to gather around and say, take a do-over. It's okay.
Whom have I in heaven? There is nothing on earth I desire besides you. My heart and my strength, many times they fail. But there is one truth that always will prevail. God is the strength of my heart. God is the strength of my heart. God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. God is the strength of my heart. God is the strength of my heart. God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever.
Just heard the conclusion of a message entitled "What's a Family For?" by Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Thank you for joining us for Words of New Hope. For Pastor Wayne, this is Del Gibbs wishing you a great day in the Lord and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves. That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.